Thank you, Mr. Luck. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you this beautiful Sabbath day. Hasn't the last week or so felt kind of like September from time to time? It makes me want to go to the feast early this year. Well, it's good to be with everybody today. Does God answer prayer? We know he does. What kind of prayer does God answer? You see, most of us, I think, here know that my family has received an amazing, miraculous answer to prayer in the last few weeks. Most of you know that we've been going through quite an ordeal with Marissa's eyes since about the first week in January. And the week after we got back from our trip to the Caribbean, we went to the eye doctor, and they saw that her inflammation had reduced to almost nothing, which is a miracle. To see the pictures of inflammation in a retina, and if you can envision this, picture kind of like an outer space moonscape of sorts, okay? And there's a mountainous region on that moonscape that pictures horrendous inflammation. And then the next picture over is a picture of the moonscape, mountainous region, completely gone, maybe even a hole where the mountain was. That's what it looks like on her retinas right now. An answer and an amazing miracle that we've seen in our lives. And I want to thank you all for your prayers. I know many of you have been praying for Marissa. She's gotten hundreds of cards. You know, it's inspiring to see cards come in from all over the United States, even cards coming in from other countries, and to hear that people in other countries are praying for your daughter's eyes and asking for updates. Does God answer prayers? He absolutely does. Absolutely does. In many instances, people would come up and say, "How is Marissa's eyes?" There was several Spokesman's Club meetings that we would have where we could barely get the club meeting started on time because people wanted to know about the condition of her eyes. Everybody was very, very concerned about her eyes. We asked for prayers, and God's people delivered in a huge way. During that time, I mean, we're talking about January the 7th through May the 5th or something like that, so we're talking about 4 months, maybe give or take a little bit. Just amazing. The word went out, and people prayed, and she was healed. Mary Smith called us during that time and shared with us a chiropractic practice that did a procedure called Atlas Orthogonal Chiropractics. And what it does is it adjusts that very top bone in the spine. There's one in Franklin. There's only two in Tennessee. There's another one in Chattanooga. We started to go to her. We found out that if that thing is out of line, and it's possible that all of us are out of line a little bit, if that thing is out of line, your eyes are constantly trying to form a parallel on the horizon, and your eyes are going to be overworked if that thing's out of line. It also turned out that if that thing's out of line, it has a major impact on the possibility of scoliosis. Well, guess what? We're going to that chiropractor now, and she's going through these procedures, and her back is feeling better. So we sent prayers out, and God's answered those prayers. It was so meaningful to us. I just wanted to read a little bit. I can't get through this without being emotional. But I wanted to read a little bit about the morning of her trip to the doctor, the last time she went to the retina specialist. These are in Sherry's words. And you deserve to hear this, because I know lots and lots of people here are praying, and it was that army of prayer warriors that got us to this point. Here's Sherry's words. On the morning of the May retina visit, I thought about the scripture in John 14 that says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I am doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I wasn't there for this. I was at work already. But Sherry took that scripture, and she and Marissa prayed that morning in the living room in tears. She read that scripture out loud in the living room and asked God to please hear our cry this morning, and that we wanted to claim this promise in His Word. We knew He does not lie, and that He wants to give us good things such as healings. I prayed that if He would heal Marissa, we would glorify the name of the Father with her healing. We went to the doctor, and her vision was 20/30. There was no swelling in her right eye. It looked normal in a scan, and the swelling was so minimal in her left eye, you could barely see just a little left. She just cried. So right after that, we talked on the telephone. I think it was about 11 o'clock in the morning, maybe 11:30. And I was walking through my parking lot to go do something out of the office for a little bit. And I said, how'd it go? And what she told me just left me speechless. She told me that story, and I was somewhere between laughing out loud in the parking lot and choking up at the same time. I mean, how do you do that? You don't have any words. You know what happened. You know, we had asked for that a couple of months early, and it didn't come. We thought the first trip into the eye doctor, she would be healed. We thought that would be the case because we asked for prayers. But we had to wait. Had to wait a little while. And so we waited 4 months. But we finally got the result that we had hoped would have come sooner. And the purpose of this sermon today is to encourage you that our great God answered those prayers that you offered up. One could say that the drugs healed Marissa. And you know, I think you've heard about some of the horrendous treatment that she had to have. A needle in each eye. You know? Ugh. I mean, I get an eyelash in my eye and I'm crying and begging for Sherry to come take it out with her magical fingers or something. An eyelash in the eye. A needle in each eye. And so she had three rounds of that. Some people could say, oh, her body just miraculously healed itself. Or the chiropractor doing the special adjustment healed her. Or the dietary additions, deletions, changes. Poor girl, therefore, while she was saying she was on the who cares about food diet. Because everything she ate was tasteless and, you know, all towards healing her eyes. I say, who made the drugs? Who made the chiropractor? Who created the food? Who is Mary Smith that she would learn of a potential treatment and recommend it to us and then feel moved by the Spirit to call us about it? Who? I'd like to go to James 5. James 5, beginning in verse 13. James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. That was the passage that I printed off and put into Sherry's hands on the first day that she went to the retina specialist back in the first week of January. For some reason, I felt an urgency to put that scripture in the doctor's hand. But as you can imagine, the doctor read it, appeared to read it carefully, and then quickly dismissed it. Immediately, we began asking for prayers for healing. And like I said, we heard stories come back from all over the United States, even all over the country. Chuck Smith was in Kingston, Jamaica, and asked if anyone had any additional announcements. Again, back in January, February or so. And someone over in Jamaica raised his hand and said, I've heard that Marissa Fushi needs prayers for her eyes. So they had found out about this, you know, by the power of Facebook, I guess. It got out there. So we got to see somebody in Jamaica here just a few weeks ago, and the opening prayer included Marissa and healing for her eyes. And that was just about 2 weeks before we came and noticed that she was healed. We could write all of that off as a coincidence. But I will not write it off as a coincidence. There's no way. My house knows exactly how Marissa was healed. God, the great physician, healed Marissa. No doubt about it. So the question is, does God hear our prayers for healing? Does talking to God have an effect on what happens? If we're sick, does asking God to heal us make a difference in whether we get better? Lots and lots and lots of prayer requests out there right now. Lots of them. But the resounding answer is yes. He does listen. He hears. And for the remainder of the sermon today, I want to talk about the kinds of prayer, elements of prayer that God listens to. Now, about 17 months ago, a couple of close friends sent a prayer request, including four verses showing elements of prayer that God wants to see in his people. A couple of these are in James, you can imagine. The first verse our friend sent us is James 5 and verse 15. It says, and we've read this once today already, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. So I want to look at these four verses that they sent to us. And look at an example in the New Testament and the Old Testament of how that really is true. An example that illustrates that. So I'd like to go to Mark 10. Mark 10, beginning in verse 46, and see an example here of the prayer of faith saving the sick. So faithfulness here is point one. Mark 10:46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road, begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. The second verse our friends sent to us about 17 months ago, James 5:16. It's almost as if we were getting prepared 16 or 17 months ago for something that might be walking into our life. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. main point is, are our prayers fervent? Do we ask that question once in a while when we're going through those that long list of prayer requests? How fervent is our prayer? Who prayed fervently with dramatic results? Well, for one, Moses did in Exodus 32, and even changed God's mind about wiping out the Israelites. But how about healing specifically? Again, who was a righteous man who prayed for healing and got it? Now, if we were in Jamaica, someone would raise their hands and that would be the end of the service, because people would say, I know this one, I know this one. And we would spend the next 2 hours going over examples. Of all the healings in the Old Testament, and there's not a lot, there's way more healings in the New Testament than the Old Testament, but this one is remarkable, intriguing to me. It's when Hezekiah needed to be healed. So let's go to 2 Kings 20. 2 Kings 20, beginning in verse 1. This was one of those stories that the first couple times I was listening to the Bible on tape, that story just struck me as being just amazingly effective prayer. 2 Kings 20, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. God's nature is to heal us. And he promised to grant healing in the Old Testament in many places. Another I'd like to go to is in Exodus 15. This is one that showcases God's personality as being our healer. Exodus 15, beginning in verse 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it in the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. God wants to heal us. He wants to be our healer. There's many names by which God has revealed his nature and activities in the Old Testament. Almighty God, the Sovereign Lord, the God who provides, the Lord our Shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. The last phrase, the Lord who heals you, is a translation of two different words, Yahweh and Rophaka. The phrase means the healing God, or God who heals, conveying something of the very heart and nature of God. In the same way that God is love describes something that God is, not just does, God is here described as a God who, by his nature, is a healer. The third verse that our friends from Indiana sent to us, Romans 12, verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12 talks about steadfastness or perseverance in prayer. Romans 12, and I'm going to pick up in verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So we're taught to continue steadfastly in prayer. So our prayer needs to be one of perseverance. As an example, King David knew and understood the importance of perseverance, and he asked God for it. In Psalm 51, verse 10, Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." And in Psalm 108, he gets this. This is later written. He says, "O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save me with your right hand." The fourth verse our friends from Indiana sent us 17 months ago, Brandon and Laura Beth Zollner, sent us this when they were requesting prayer for their son Owen, who was born with spina bifida. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. You know where I'm going with this. We've seen a dramatic healing already in this church. No doubt we'll see more dramatic healings as we approach God with our requests. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What example may be found of someone who was healed and then gave thanks? Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. To see just how rare that thankfulness is after a healing. Well, it won't be rare in my house. I hope it won't be rare in any of our houses when we receive the healing that we need. Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him ten men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So to summarize, trials, even some of the worst trials there are, which are health issues, test our faith, but it leads to perfection in the end. We're instructed to pray for one another so that we may be healed. And the prayers of the righteous avails much. God hears our prayers when they're faithful, fervent, with perseverance and thanksgiving, and it's his very nature to be our healer. So those four verses were verses from Laura Beth and Brandon Zollner, sent out 16 or 17 months ago. And we once in a while hear an update on how Owen's doing. Has anybody ever met Owen face to face? A few of us. I met him for the first time at Panama City Beach last year at the feast. And that is a smiley, joyful, good personality. Owen's owner. I don't think he even knows that there's anything going on in his body. I don't think he knows. His parents know, and his little brother's getting to know even more about Owen's condition. I wanted to give you an update because I've been in correspondence with Laura Beth over the last little while on how Owen's doing. And Brandon and Laura Beth and Jude have a special request that they've sent out. So for the remainder of this, I'm going to give you an update and ask all of us to lift up that precious boy up to God and ask for healing. This is what we received December 28, 2014. Owen has been diagnosed with spina bifida, a condition where the spinal cord does not completely close up and must be surgically repaired. Often there's a lifetime of physical trouble that can plague a person with this condition. Below were some specific conditions to Owen that need prayers for healing. Bladder function. When we left the NICU unit, Owen was successfully emptying 80 to 90% of his bladder without assistance. For the remaining fluid, we were catheterizing him 4 times per day. We usually get anywhere from 2 to 8 milliliters, but sometimes we get none. Because we catheterize, Owen must also be on constant dose of antibiotic to prevent infection. Our prayer is for him to completely empty his bladder unassisted and therefore be taken off the antibiotic. Very specific. I like the specificness of their prayer request here for us to read through. Bowel function. Owen currently does not have any control over his bowels. He does, however, successfully empty them. There's quite a bit of diarrhea as a consequence of the antibiotics. Our prayer is for his sphincter muscles to function properly and his bowels to return to normal consistency. Legs and feet. Owen has small legs, but there is muscle tone. We have noticed further spontaneous movement in his upper legs. His muscles are tight, and he's unable to straighten his legs to full length. Both of his feet have some deformity to the point that they will need casts and potentially surgery. Our prayer is for his legs to develop normally and grow in size and lengthen, and for his feet to be capable to support him should he walk someday. Brain. Many times people with this condition are unable to drain spinal fluid properly, and there's a buildup in the brain. In these cases, a permanent shunt is required to fix this problem. On his first brain ultrasound, Owen showed a very slight increase in ventricle size, but not enough to require a shunt. His brain will continue to be monitored on a regular basis for this condition. Our prayer is for his spinal fluid to drain properly and for his ventricles to stay within the normal range. Nerve development and walking. Owen's spinal cord is obviously damaged, but it's not severed. Our prayer is for the nerves that have been damaged to heal and that our son be able to walk someday. We know that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. God does give us instruction when it comes to prayers for healing, including the four verses that served as the basis for this today. We also ask prayers for our family. We need a great deal of love, patience, and endurance during this time. We need faith to face this trial on a daily basis. We need full reliance and trust in God. We also need wisdom in navigating the numerous treatment options and confidence in making difficult choices. Thank you for your faithful prayers to our great God. So that was what came out in December 2014. I asked Laura Beth for an update on those items this week. So as of May the 16th, Owen was born 5 weeks premature, but he was already 6 pounds and 1 ounce. Typically, babies born 5 weeks early struggle with their breathing, but Owen never had any breathing issues, and he was born with very strong lungs. We believe that it was a blessing that he was born early, as we have heard that the earlier spina bifida babies can receive their back surgery, the less likely they are to need a shunt. Even though we are facing the possibility of a shunt now, we are thankful that he has gone a year and a half so far without needing one. One big spina bifida struggle is that as Owen grows, so does his spine, and there are a number of problems that can arise. In addition to the other problems listed below, we also have to watch out for spinal tethering. Owen's spine is tethered on the inside, and this might not ever be an issue. However, it is common for the spinal cord to get stuck as he grows because of this tethering. This would cause him to feel like his spine is pulling on him and not long enough. It would be painful. The day after Owen's surgery, Brandon and I were heading back to the hospital early in the morning to see Owen. An SUV pulled in front of us with a bumper sticker with Jeremiah 1:5, which says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you," on it. Even though that verse was specifically about Jeremiah, we knew that was a gift from God. So here's the updates that she specifically writes about what came out in her initial prayer request. Bladder function. We had to catheterize Owen for the first week or two after he came home from the hospital. We were able to stop for a while because we were not getting much out. And his doctor said sometimes they have to be catheterized because of trauma from surgery. And then after a few weeks, they heal and don't need it anymore. He said that he had never seen it happen so quickly in a patient before. I think this was a blessing, as we could not mentally handle catheterizing him at the time, nor did we really know what we were doing. At the end of May 2015, Owen had another urodynamics test to determine whether or not he was emptying his bladder on his own. He failed this test. We have been catheterizing him 3 times a day ever since. He will not have another test for another 2 to 3 years, but we're told that once catheterization is needed, it's typically always needed. Thankfully, we have a God-fearing, conservative doctor who does not believe in daily antibiotics to prevent bladder infections. He uses an alternative method that is safer, cheaper, and more effective. Owen has only had antibiotics once since being catheterized to heal a bladder infection. Well, praise God for that. They found a provider who fears God. They are rare, not very many. Bowel function. Thankfully, Owen has always been able to successfully empty his bowels on his own. Thankfully, right? Isn't that a wonderful answer? Owen has always been able to successfully empty his bowels. As he grows, this is something that could change. Unfortunately, he has just started having trouble with this. He has only had 2 very small dirty diapers in the past 2.5 weeks, and those were with some intervention. I spoke with his urologist today, actually, and he gave me some techniques to help him. Thankfully, they have worked so far, and we got 2 dirty diapers today. Thankful for dirty diapers. Legs and feet. This is the area that we expected the most delays, and our expectations have been exceeded. Right after he was born, his legs and hips were so tight that we could not straighten them. We had to massage and stretch daily. Eventually, his legs relaxed, and he started moving them and kicking them. He started crawling on all fours when he was 11 months old, which we were definitely not expecting. His clubbed feet were corrected through surgery in February. Now that they are straight and braced, we are working on weight-bearing and standing. He can pull up on his knees. His therapist is allowing us to use a stander that we strap him in. The stander allows him to build up his muscles to work up to standing eventually. Even though he is behind still in this area, he is progressing. Fine motor skills. This was an area in which we were not expecting delays. Owen appeared to be right on track in the fine motor department after he was born. Over time, it was evident that he was not developing appropriately in this area. Currently, the biggest challenge here is feeding. Owen is still primarily nursing, will not take a bottle or sippy cup, and struggles with eating food. Eating is very, very hard for him because he has a sensory processing disorder. This is a very long process, but we are working with an excellent food therapist who has taught us a number of ways to help him. He also cannot do simple play that is appropriate for his age, such as clapping, holding a toy in each hand, and hitting them together. Hitting toys on a hard surface, taking toys in and out of a container, etc. We're still unsure if this is related to hydrocephalus or not. I'll pause for just a moment and say this, that in between a couple of the doctor's appointments that we had, you see, we took Marissa in and got basically hit with a baseball bat with this terrible news in January. Next appointment, after we'd done what we were supposed to do, even worse inflammation than the first time. I mean, you take the drugs, you change your diet, you do what you do, and it's worse. And I believe it was between the second and the third appointment that we had. We went in, and inflammation still just as bad as it ever was, even worse. You'd think that she was going to go blind. And yet, we had asked for prayers for improved vision. Now, what happened was her vision went from 20/60 to about 20/30. So we had improved vision, but the inflammation was getting worse and worse and worse. So Sherry and I, this was a very depressing day. I think it was probably, March or April, or probably around tax season. What could be even worse than that? You know, health issue on top of tax season.
Ugh.
So I called Sherry right after the appointment, and everybody was upset. Everyone was depressed. Sherry says in her own words that she was probably at the low point of her whole life, that our daughter was in the middle of a train wreck. And we were all sitting down at lunch, and Sherry was upset. I was kind of upset. Marissa wasn't upset. Marissa said, "I don't know what's wrong with you guys. I have a ministry here." You know, she writes for the local paper, and she puts an article in the paper called Ask Marissa, and she answers cultural questions from people her age, and she answers all of them with no fewer than 5 verses. And she's not missed a deadline in 18 months. Has it been 2 years yet? 2 years. So she has a good relationship with the editor of the paper. And by the way, she's getting the verses out to Dixon County. And it's so, people stop Sherry in town and say, "I'm reading your daughter's article." That's her ministry. And she said, "The problem here is we're just not being specific enough in our prayers. We have asked for vision improvement, but we've not yet asked for reduced inflammation." The girl doesn't have any inflammation now. Glory to God. No question about it. But we need to be specific about what we're asking for. Back to Owen. Brain. Owen had several brain ultrasounds after birth. When he got to be 3 months old and still did not need a shunt for his very mild hydrocephalus, we were told that he probably would not need a shunt. At his last neurosurgery appointment, some red flags popped up, indicating that his hydrocephalus may have increased. An MRI revealed that he is borderline for needing a shunt. His next MRI on June the 22nd will determine whether or not a shunt is needed. apparently the procedure itself is not difficult. The problems arise after the shunt is inserted. Shunts can become infected and also malfunction. Many shunted patients need multiple surgeries to fix malfunctioning shunts. Nerve development. Owen still does not have full nerve function. This is why he's having bladder and bowel trouble. He also does not appear to have feeling in his feet, and we're unsure what he can feel between his knees and his ankles. The good thing is that he does have good function in his hips to his knees. As a result, his therapist and orthopedist think that he'll be able to walk eventually with the aid of braces and possibly a walker or arm crutches. Cardiology. Owen was actually born with a heart murmur and a small hole in his heart. Oddly enough, this wasn't our biggest concern after he was born, considering everything else we had going on. He had several heart ultrasounds and EKGs over the course of several months. There was no change in his condition, which meant that it probably would not get worse, and therefore no intervention would be needed. He does not need to see his cardiologist for another 3 years. Yay. Lord Beth's words. Circumcision. Imagine this. This is not related to spina bifida, but it's still something Owen is dealing with. While in the NICU, the doctor began to circumcise Owen. After she had already started, she realized that Owen had a hypospadias. This is where the opening of the urethra is too close to the foreskin to be circumcised. So the doctor had to stop mid-circumcision. On June 24th, 2 days after his brain MRI, he will have a circumcision revision, minor, but still a surgery and something that needs to be done. So that's Laura Beth's and Brandon's and Jude's update to us on how Owen is doing. And then we have this latest prayer request. Brandon and Laura Beth Zollner are requesting prayers for their son, Owen. Here's a message from them. Owen is progressing in the gross motor area, but his fine motor skills are very delayed. He's 16 months old and has no words yet and will not eat solid food, among other basic things that he should be doing now. It's possible that these delays are caused by the fluid on his brain. We have a follow-up appointment on June the 22nd where Owen will have another MRI. They will do a side-by-side comparison of the results of yesterday's MRI and the one on June 22nd, discuss where he is developmentally, and make a decision from there. If there's no change in his brain on June 22nd, we will postpone the next MRI for 6 months. If there is an increase in fluid, we will be having a serious conversation about shunting him. This was a bit of a surprise to us yesterday, since we thought we were out of the hydrocephalus danger zone. I was told yesterday that while most who don't need it initially won't need it at all, there are a few who build fluid slowly over time and eventually do need a shunt. If a child can make it to age 3 without needing one, they typically won't need one at all. Although we're disappointed with this possibility, we are thankful it is just a possibility and that Owen did not need emergency surgery yesterday. And here's her request. She's specifically requesting something for us to do between now and June the 22nd. We would like to ask for your prayers between now and June 22nd, specifically that God would heal Owen of this fluid on his brain so that he will not need a shunt. Also, please pray for peace and guidance for our family, and especially for big brother Jude, as he's beginning to be more aware of what is happening with Owen. We appreciate all of your prayers and the support system that we have. They make all of this easier to bear. Sincerely, Brandon, Laura Beth, Jude, and Owen Zollner. Brethren, please post these names on your war room wall today. Brandon, Laura Beth, Jude, and Owen Zollner. And pray as they have requested us to pray between now and June the 22nd with faith, fervency, perseverance, and thanksgiving.